D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com by the self-proclaimed number one hockey guest on our station every week, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column. Elliot, I think the timing of your visit this week could not be more perfect, considering you had an opportunity to be around the Predators yesterday when they were in Toronto. I would love to get your read on the Predators having the opportunity to be around them yesterday, and if you had any conversations with any players or members of the staff that maybe were illuminating to you as to what's been going on with the Predators so far this season.
You know, Adam, a couple of things. The one thing that really stood out, me and a couple of the other guys I work with were talking about it, was how positive they sounded. You know, like, you had a tough week, three overtime losses. Then, you know, Stamkos says what he has to say. And, like, we were kind of laughing that or just smiling to ourselves. Like, it was almost like the players were kind of like, okay, we're going into Toronto, and then we're going into Montreal. Anything we say that's not good is going to be like a nuclear bomb. So we have to make sure that we paint this as positively as we can. And I think the other thing too, Adam, is I do think this comes with players. Like, you can't tell them, they're not going to come out and say, well, we've got 55 games left, our season's over. Like, they're just not going to do that. They're always going to think, we're the team that can overcome this bad start. I don't care what the history of other teams starting badly is. We've got a lot of talent in here, and we can overcome it. And we saw that. And generally, the players talked very much like that, and we all noticed it. I think, you know, obviously last night was a disappointing game. They kind of lulled Toronto to sleep for a couple periods. And then, you know, Matthews and Marner woke up and it was all over. It was tough to watch. You know, they've obviously made some changes to the system. You know, a couple of guys talked about, and I did speak to Andrew Burnett about allowing defensemen to pinch at the opposing blue line. We showed a couple of examples in our pregame show, including one brilliant one from Josi where it led to a goal. And the other thing that's clear is, you know, Andrew Burnett was a guy that he likes the quick ups. Push the puck up fast, forward fast, forward fast. Well, other teams, well, first of all, the Predators aren't that quick. And secondly, you know, other teams, they're not stupid. They see it. They know what they're going to do. And Burnett wasn't a guy that liked defenseman to defenseman passing very much. And I guess, you know, they kind of talked about it as a group is, sometimes reversing it helps you. So they've opened that up a bit too. And they thought they were doing better. You know, last night was a step back. You know, Marchessault was really interesting. I think there's definitely been heat on him. He has not produced 5-on-5. And, you know, he just said, look, I didn't sign up for 1 year. I signed up for 5. Like, we're going to figure this out, and I'm going to figure this out. But, you know, the one thing was interesting is I didn't really talk to him. I just went and said hello. But, you know, you see what's happened with Tomasino, and you see what's happened with Fabro. And I see Parsonen not playing. And we've talked about this on the show about, you know, when free agents pick you this year and last year, it's really hard to sit them because it becomes this guy chose us and now we're going to sit them. I just think, like, that kid's got to play. And you know, because you know what's going to happen is eventually it's going to get to a point where the kid's going to say, look, like, I'm not trying to be selfish, but I want to play. And so I'd like to go somewhere else if I can. And I just think, like, that's a guy, like, if it's not going to work out in Nashville, it's for the Predators' sake, it's got to be on their terms and not Parsonen's terms.
Elliot, as you are fond of saying, when GMs are in trouble, their counterparts don't throw them a life preserver, they throw them an anvil. By the way, I hope you've copyrighted that. You could turn it into throw pillows if you want for Christmas gifts or whatever. But We talked about what Barry Trotz, the position that Barry Trotz is in. He doesn't want to make a rash move for a short-term fix that creates more problems down the road. And the players that he brought in, as you said, they have pricey cap hits. They have trade protection in their contracts. There isn't a lot that Barry Trotz can really do. We have seen him nibble around the edges, trading Philip Tomasino, trading Scott Wedgwood, waving Dante Favreau. But I'm just wondering, with the way that the season has gone, I'm not sure which cards Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz have to play. You mentioned in your column today something that we've talked a lot about, something we've talked a lot about here, and you just mentioned. One thing that we have not seen from Andrew Burnett is him reducing the ice time of his top players who aren't producing. And I know that there is a lot that goes into that, but do you think we might be reaching a point where the Predators may have no other choice but to send that message?
Yes, I think you are getting to that point. And we just talked about the issue with it. I'll tell you a story. I remember years ago, there was a team that there was a player. He was a free agent. He signed with a team, and the team started handing out some big extensions a year or two later. And then they started losing, and it was this player's turn for the big extension. And they said, "Look, like we're losing right now. Your guy isn't playing, very well, and we just can't do this." And the agent was really upset at them. He's like, "Wait a second, you gave this guy an extension. My guy picked you, and that's the guy you're drawing the line on." And ultimately, you have to do what you think is right. And a lot of this is negotiation and pressure tactics. But I remember that conversation a lot. Like, this is the guy that picked you, and this is the guy you're drawing the line with. I think that's kind of what the Predators are going through right now. Like, you look at, like, I don't, like, let's just look at all the guys they've signed. I don't know who they're thinking of scratching, but Marchessault picked them, Stamkos picked them, Shea picked them, Ryan O'Reilly picked them, Luke Shen picked them. And ultimately, you have to do what you think is right. Like, it's a business. We're not in the making people happy business. We're in the win games business. And you have to do what you think is right. But I do think, Adam, that those things do come up. Like, the pressure comes, like, oh boy, like, the next time we go in the market, is a player going to say, "Well, I'm interested in Nashville, but this guy signed with you, and 25 games later, you were benching him. I don't want that." So those are all the things you have to weigh. And, I think the thing about Barry Trotz, I'd say, is this. Barry Trotz, it's not that he doesn't want to do anything. Like, he did something this summer. He did, like, we joked about it. Remember a couple weeks ago, Adam, like, all of a sudden, the best-looking girl in school. That's the Nashville Predators.
Yes.
Like, nobody can look and say that Barry Trotz doesn't want to do anything. But sometimes the best move is to take a deep breath. And I think right now, barring anything I'm not aware of, maybe the best move is to take a deep breath, no matter how ugly it looks. And, I'll say this, and I did write this too. I do think teams would love to get their hands on Lauzon. And I've heard he doesn't want to do it. And you know what? Like, that's probably the right approach.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, we had, as we do every week, Barry Trotz on with Jared on this station. And, Jared pelts him with good questions, and Barry always has, he's good about, his answers. And he's always up front. But he did allude to Christmas Day, right around Christmas Day. If he doesn't see, some improvements, then he may have to, do some things that he probably doesn't want to do. And we all know what that could potentially be. Do you believe this team can turn it around to a point where they are competing truly for a playoff spot? Or do you think, once you get to that Christmas mark, there's not much makeup they can do?
Derek, I was told when I got into sports media that there was going to be no math, okay? But there's always math. And So I keep track of a stat. You know, if you're 4 points out of the playoffs after games played November 1st, there's like a 15% chance you make the playoffs. If you go back to U.S. Thanksgiving, and I know our guys tweeted this out, I want to say, I think it was going back to, I think, 2010, the teams that were in the playoffs on Thanksgiving Day in the U.S., I think they make the playoffs almost 80% of the time. It's hard, Derek. And, like, the thing, too, with hockey that makes it really harder is we have the loser point. So, you know, you go into a lot of – like, a lot of teams lose games when they get a point out of it, which makes it even harder. So, like, I'd love to tell you that it can happen, and it's not impossible, but the later you get in the calendar – and, you know, it's not only how far you are out of the playoffs now, Derek, it's – Look how many teams you have to jump over. Mm-hmm. Like it gets really hard. And I think the thing is too is that I did think they were starting to trend a bit better last week. But like that game last night, like that was a tough one. Like once the Maple Leafs started going in the third period, unfortunately there wasn't much Nashville could do. Like I'll say this, the one thing, like it's amazing. Like I never would have thought this would have been the problem. Is scoring goals. Like, UC Saros, the league average save percentage is .901. He came in last night at .911. You think you're great. You guys have the number one penalty kill in the NHL. You think it would be great. Like, I'm looking at this, and the players are in disbelief. Like, and Brunette is too. Like, who would have thought we couldn't score? And I have to admit, watching it, I'm in disbelief too.
Now, okay, we understand who Barry was as a head coach, hell of a head coach, Stanley Cup winning head coach. And we're still getting to learn Barry as a GM. But do you think it's hard for him being a coach, watching what he's watching and seeing it? Do you think it's hard for him to overstep that boundary of being a GM when a lot of who he is a coach?
That's a great question. I think, first of all, I think, you know, Derek, like, losing is eating him alive. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that's true. He's a competitor. I think what I would say is that his experience as a coach has really helped his patience. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be a lot of GMs that might have done something rash. Even though the waving of Fabro and the trade of Tomasino, those guys have gotten the bump in Columbus and Pittsburgh. I don't think he's done anything rash, and I think in the long run, that will be helpful. Like I do think there are teams that might have made a coaching change already, and I think. And I think very fairly, Barry looks at it like, I've been in that seat. Mm-hmm. He didn't get stupid in a year. This isn't all on him. I have to help him find a way to get through it. And I think in a year or however long it is, that may turn out to be his coaching experience. Mm-hmm. That may turn out to be the thing that helped him and the Predators the most.
Elliot Friedman is with us from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, it was good to see you briefly yesterday. I know it was a busy day for you with the rosters being announced for the Four Nations face-off and everything like that. That was a big day. It was fun to be in Toronto on that day. I got two questions for you, and one is sort of a maybe building on what D-Mace just asked you there. But you've got Andrew Brunette, who is – He clearly was onto something as a head coach. You look at the three different places he was: Florida, where he took over for Joel Quenneville, then as an assistant for the Devils, where they really made a big jump while he was there with Lindy Ruff, and then what he did in Nashville last year. He wants to be innovative. He wants to play a certain way, and it looks pretty clear that the guys that they brought in are not maybe a great fit for that system. And Stamkos, for example, he didn't have a shot last night. That's happened too often, five on five. He knows it. Yeah. You know, they're trying to talk through that. Barry Trotz said they had, you know, a good one-on-one meeting to try to talk through how we get through this. You talked to Marcia, so, but clearly that's been an issue. So what is a coach supposed to do when he wants to play a certain way, his team doesn't quite fit, and you're sort of forced to change your system? Is that more on the coach? Because I think Barry Trotz, as you just mentioned, when D-Mace asked you about Trotzy, he looks and he says, you know, well, I'm partially responsible for giving him these guys. I thought it would look better, and that's the pickle they're in right now.
Yeah, I think, like I've always believed, I've never understood coaches who are rigid to a system. I don't like it. Now, I think, and you know, Derek, I haven't covered football, but I heard this happens in football all the time. Like, if a coach likes a system, like say you have a coach that likes a 4-3 defense, they might target a player that they say, hey, this player is perfect for the defense that we want to play or the coverage that we like to play. And to me, that makes sense. But if you are handed a roster or you go out and you get players and you bring them there and they do not fit, like, let's use Stamkos as an argument. I think there was a $32 million on Stamkos. I don't understand why anybody would spend $32 million on a player and try to squeeze him into a system that doesn't help him. Like, I think in that situation it is the responsibility of the coach and the player and the organization to work together. Like, I think the best coaches, if they don't have the right fits for the way they like to play, they say, okay, we got to find a new way to play so we all can win. Because if we don't find a new way to play, the ship is sinking and we're all going down together on the Titanic. So like I said and I wrote today, they have started to make changes to the way they play in order to win more games. And to me, that's the way it should be. Like, Brunette and the players should be working together to say, okay, like, we have to change what we do or else it's going to be a disaster for all of us. So that's the way I look at it. You take a look at your personnel and you say, this is his strength, this is his strength, this is his strength. How are we going to work together to do this? You shouldn't be rigid to your system if it doesn't fit the personnel you have. To me, that makes no sense. And the fact that they have made changes, Willie, it says to me that they recognize that they don't have the ability to play the way that Brunette played last year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And you can see some modest improvements in a lot of the numbers. The only thing they're not doing, they're just not scoring. But let me ask you about that with one particular example, because you and I had a couple of different conversations about Tommy Novak, because he was an intriguing guy going into the deadline. A lot of people saw that he was potentially a free agent, very interested in him as a trade target. It was widely reported they could have gotten a pretty decent return, pretty good return for him. They committed to him. He struggled in the playoffs, and then this year he has really taken a step back, and that's under the same coaching staff. As you watched him last night, or maybe I'm just curious if any of your colleagues had any comments about him, because he's a guy that hasn't had a point in 8 games. He went out for a while with an upper body. He got a collision. Looked like he was probably – they didn't say what it was, but we kind of know what it probably was. But he just hasn't done anything even before that, really, to speak of, nothing close to what he did last year.
And so you're talking about Novak, right? Just I cut out
Novak,
for a second,
yes.
Correct? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I don't get it. Like last night's a bad night to ask me, Willie, because we were all so focused on the Four Nations stuff. Like, I admit for you, like, a couple of times there when I was working on some things, I was like, is there a game going on right now? Like, I was focused on that. But, you know, I will tell you, like, you know, the one thing for me I always look at in a game is, like, do you notice someone? Whether it's good or bad, like, do you notice someone? And, like, I really like that guy. I think he's a really talented guy. But there's a lot of games where I just don't really notice him. And I just, like, I don't know. Like, I wonder is, like, is he, like, is he a 2C? I think that's the question that we're all, like, to me, that's one of the biggest questions that the Predators have to sort out now, because they've committed to him, and I thought they should have committed to him. I always, my opinion is always stays the same in terms of, I never changed from what I thought at the time. I thought they made the right decision. But I think now one of the biggest things you got to find out is, where is Novak's true place in the lineup? Where does he fit? And because, like, you've tried him with between Stamkos and Marchessault, you've tried him in a couple other situations. And so I think you got to figure out, like, is that a Novak problem or is that a winger problem? And again, like, just that game last night, like, Willie, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I just didn't notice a lot from him.
No, he was invisible and did not get a shot, and they tried other combinations later in the game when it wasn't going well. So yeah. It's just another chapter in the can't quite figure the whole thing out to try to put it all together and score enough goals to win.
Yeah, it's been disappointing because I think that kid is a really talented guy. And like I said, I think Nashville made the right decision at the time. But, it's just one of those things I'm looking at this year. And if you would have told me before the season that Steven Stamkos would not have made Team Canada, I wouldn't have believed you. And if you would have told me before the season that Tommy Novak would have the kind of year or lack of impact he's having, I wouldn't have believed you. There's a lot of things, like, it's clear now that the moves they made, and I think we kind of knew this at the time, fundamentally changed what worked last year, and it's taking a long time to figure out how to get to what worked last year, new personnel, and what can work with them this year. I have a question for you, Willie.
Oh, what do you got?
What time did you guys land in Montreal last night?
Unfortunately... later than we hoped. It was we landed after 2 a.m. There were some. We had to de-ice and do a lot of stuff like that. It was not smooth. So we
what
are.
What time did you get back to your
register.
Hotel room this morning? Then what time
I'm
did you get to your hotel room this morning?
I'm going to register a complaint with the league, Elliot. We are not getting. This is the second straight year. If I remember correctly, it might be the third straight year we have had back-to-back Toronto-Montreal with Montreal in the back half. We are not getting quality time in this city, in Montreal, and that is just not fair.
Well, I give you a D-minus because only a rank amateur can't find something to do in Montreal at 2 in the morning.
let me just say, Elliot, we are very strategically located to some famous spots in the area, so it was not an issue of not being able to get there. So,
Fair enough.
Elliot Freeman, NHL's insider for Sportsnet, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column, joining us as he does every Thursday. Elliot, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say about the Predators coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.